It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Happy Thursday, everybody.
I'm excited for next week.
It's good to be back. What's going on next week?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the U.S. Open.
Dude.
Have you been watching content to the rough? How thick that rough is?
I showed
swag. You watching rough content?
Yeah, damn right.
Watching them drop those balls, it disappears.
Oh my God.
I can't even see a Coca-Cola can in here.
Bryson's practice swing, his club got caught in the grass. He couldn't even fully swing through it.
It's going to be carnage. It's interesting, too, about Oakmont. Dude, don't even get me started on this.
Somebody
you want to rev my engines right now?
I am revving your engine. Somebody said, and I forget, it might have been Sepp Straka or somebody else, maybe Jim Furyk. Somebody won at Oakmont one year with a plus number. And Tiger barely lost to them.
It's been a minute, I believe, since Oakmont hosted a U.S. Open.
Well, I'm not saying it was a U.S. Open.
Just in general?
I think in general. I'll go find out where
they
I saw that.
They don't host a normal tournament, but it is. The last time they hosted a U.S. Open, I believe, golf show in the Northwest, Swigard can help me with this, I think was about 20 years ago. When was the last time Oakmont hosted a U.S. Open? Do you remember that off the top of your head? Because the course used to look drastically different. They used to have a ton of trees in between the holes, and they basically cut them all down. Now, they hosted a U.S. Amateur a couple of years ago, and the problem that they ran into was that guys were playing different fairways, and it was causing all sorts of chaos because there's legitimately no trees left on the property. It's wide open.
2016.
Okay, so it's more recent than I thought.
Shane Lowry had the lead after 54 holes, but it was Jim Furyk shot a fun around 66.
Yeah, Jim Furyk. Okay.
Angel Cabrera won the U.S. Open at Oakmont with a score of... Okay, this is where AI has killed me last 2 days. I looked up
he
Giannis.
Won in 2007 there.
Right. With plus five?
I mean, U.S. Opens, there's been U.S. Opens like that in the past.
That's crazy.
This one might be that. I mean, they're expecting carnage.
I'm rooting for that.
The cut was 11 over par in the 07 U.S. Open.
That's so great. I love it.
I'm rooting for that.
That's what U.S. Open should be. It should punch you in the face every hole multiple times, and the last person standing holds the trophy.
We all know the PGA is the worst. We know the Masters is the best, and debatably the Open Championship is a close second because of the history. This is a good tournament, but I need something like this to happen every year.
Yep.
You need to say... We'll be lucky if we get a one underscore.
If somebody
here.
Breaks par, you're lucky.
I want to watch those guys mentally break down.
It's the best part about it. Balls going back and forth on the green. Makes you feel like you're watching yourself at a local muni. Blade and chips.
Oh, excuse me. No, it was
head.
Dustin Johnson who won in 2016. Furyk was runner-up. Fired a final round 66.
Harold Johnson's first win was the U.S. Open in Oakmont?
Dustin Johnson, he won it.
His
first major game. No, he blew
Chambers,
it at Chambers.
where was it?
Damn it.
Well, Harold's tweeted us that Angel Cabrera won it at plus five in 07.
Plus five, okay.
That was a winning score, plus five.
I want to check some of this. Wasn't that, didn't he have the grounding incident? Where was that at?
Yeah, that was there. He
lost
got a
that
penalty
tournament.
On the fifth green. No. In the bunker that he didn't realize was a bunker. He thought it was a waste area.
Yeah, at Oakmont.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that was his first major win, huh?
That's what it says.
Okay. God, time flies. That doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but now it seems like it was a very long time ago. Speaking of which, by the way, back right at 8 o'clock, BM Hera. You like that? Huh? You like to stick that in your pipe and smoke
I don't think
it.
He likes the BM thing.
BM Hera?
Yeah.
That's his name now.
He's the brand man.
He's our BM.
Yeah, he's the brand man.
He's our brand man. 8 o'clock, right on the dot. Just want to point that out. And another example of feeling old, not knowing when Dustin Johnson won his first major. This was a headline on ESPN today. Michigan has extended the scholarship offer to 2027 recruit Charles Woodson Jr. Charles Woodson Jr.
Chucky Woodson.
Chucky Wood. That's what they call him on the streets.
Yeah.
Chucky Woodson Jr. And it then got me thinking of like that one is that's one for me where some of my first vivid sports memories I've talked about this. I grew up a front running Michigan fan because he was awesome at Michigan right when I was a kid. And we're all front running fans when we're kids.
Right.
And so you see him in the Rose Bowl and he's got the rose in his teeth. And I'm like 9 years old and I'm like, this guy's number two. He won the Heisman. He's the coolest thing that's ever walked the planet Earth. I'm now going to be a Michigan fan for the rest of my life. And now I hate them. But when was the first one that made you feel old? The first time you
heard
it.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr., was it for you?
Yeah, because I'm well aware how long ago Tim Hardaway played in the NBA, but I just hear Tim Hardaway, and I think of a moment in my life where I used to try to do the double through the leg dribble the way he did with his crossover, and watching him in, you know, Golden State, obviously early in his career, but like Miami late in his career, getting buckets and going against those Knicks teams. Like, yeah, seeing Tim Hardaway Jr. at, where did he play, Michigan, and then going to the NBA, and he got that contract with the Knicks, like seeing all, or the Mavs, whoever it was, seeing all of that, I was like, oh,
God, that makes me feel old. There's a lot of them now that keep popping up, but everybody remembers their first, right? Everybody remembers the first time you have that
40,
moment of like,
so this
dude,
shouldn't feel
what?
Weird anymore.
No, it shouldn't anymore. This one, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's now that I have a kid and I'm like, dude, so he's a 2027 recruit. So he's got, two more years left in high school?
Yeah, two.
And then he's going to then go to college. So he's not going to even be in college until for three more years. Teddy's going to be like almost five by the time this dude makes his debut in college. If he's there for 3 years, he's going to be like eight watching Charles Woodson Jr., which was one of my first
about
beloved
the same
athletes.
Age as you. As,
about the same age as me.
Have you done
and maybe that's why it's dawning on
have
me.
Have you done the math of your kids graduating year?
No, I don't want to do that math, man. I don't want to do that. I don't. You said Prince Field. Prince Fielder's a good
Prince
one.
Prince Fielder's another
when Prince
really good
Fielder
one,
broke
yes.
in. Do you remember that's your first swag? The first one where you're like the kid coming through and it just made you feel older than hell.
Was it a junior or a different name? And you're like, oh my God, that's his son.
I feel like the juniors hit home more.
Yeah, it does.
Than it does than
I think
the random
it was the
name.
Boones, because I remember watching Bob Boone with the 80 Phillies with Tug McGraw winning the World Series.
Tug McGraw. What a name drop.
Tug McGraw. Who could forget Tug McGraw?
Bob Boone was
that's
the catcher.
He was Bob Boone.
That's where our age catch.
That's where it hits you right there. He dropped the Tug McGraw on your ass. You didn't see that coming. You went Tim Hardaway. You went Tug
I
McGraw
did go
on
Tim
you.
Tim Hardaway.
You know, it's my 20-year anniversary for high school this year.
Are you going this summer?
F no.
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 20's a pretty big one, though.
I have no interest.
Are you never going to go to any of them?
So
what if you get to 50?
When my daughter was about one, we went to one of the brew fests on the waterfront, and I was at this point, I wasn't hammered, but I had a couple beers. I was feeling good. And I walked, it's me, my wife, and I think my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we're walking, and through the crowd, as somebody passes me, I hear, Brandon Spray. Oh my God. Give me a hug. And at this point, I hadn't even thought about high school. It's like 2013.
Sure.
I graduated at 5. And I turn around and it's a gal and like it took a minute. And I'm like, who is this?
Who is this? Put a name together.
And I finally figured it out. But I'm just like, damn, dude, it hadn't even been that long at that point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember half these people. Why would I go to that? I'm not friends with anybody.
Yeah, I know.
You
I
have
see the
friends
argument.
From your high school that you still regularly hang out with.
I do. A lot of them are older, though, than me, so it's not necessarily the same reunion class.
So why would you go? Because we have an actual high school story that we shouldn't share on the air about your class. And I'm like, why would you put yourself in a situation where you see more people you don't remember?
Well, yeah, that's true. There are a lot of people that I forget from time to time. That's a problem that I have.
Like, why would you show up to that? What would you get?
Hey, you, how are you doing?
Do you
want
to wear your jacket and be cussing out?
Yeah. I had that at a wedding a couple of years ago. Somebody came up to me and said, Andy, nice to see you. How are you? And I looked at him. I was like, I don't know who you are.
Did you pretend you did, though?
Like, no, hey. I kind of ended up having to be honest because the conversation got a little awkward. And I was like, how do I? And she was like, we went to high school together. I said, oh.
It still didn't register, did it?
It still didn't register.
Yeah. That's like,
it's my bad.
Swag, did you go to any of your high school reunions?
I think I went to 20.
20, I feel like, is a big one, though.
But why do I care?
I know. I see the argument both sides.
And it was because one of my...
Part of me, if it's an easy thing to get to, part of me is contemplating going to 20. Now,
yeah,
I didn't go
20...
to 10.
Because one
10's
of,
too soon.
Yeah, like, one of my dude, childhood, like from kindergarten, one of my friends was like on the organizing.
So you were
committee.
In the loop on all of it.
So I was kind of like,
did you regret it?
No, it was it was fun to see.
Now most of your buddies now at this age in life, though, are from college, right?
Yeah, my group, my tight group, is all my college. My fraternity brothers. Look,
I had a lot going on in my life during high school, and it wasn't great. College was more of an impact on my life. In a lot of ways. I just enjoyed college more. I had way more experiences that were great. I was in a different place. High school was a really weird time for me in my personal life. And then you add on top of it the school element and like, I don't know. I don't want
to reassociate with that.
I mean, I'm proud to be from Park Rose.
Yeah.
I just didn't really have the greatest high school experience the way I thought I was going to going into high school. And so, like, I'm not really interested. I don't talk to anybody from it.
Yeah, somebody said, I love living in an area where I didn't go to high school. You never need to worry about running into somebody. That's definitely a benefit of moving out. I'm now back in the neighborhood. I've just moved back to the neighborhood I grew up in. And this is going to be a problem I'm going to have to face. There's going to be a lot of people I'm like, let's go to the other side of the street.
I love that it's going to be a problem.
I don't want to have a conversation with that person.
Ask me what I brought in from the car into his house, swag. I love that living next to his high school is a problem because he doesn't want to be identified as I bring in his helmet plaque of Player of the Year.
There we go.
I mean, you know, it's hanging in the man cave. I'm not throwing that thing out. We're in a bit of a getting rid of stuff we don't need phase. That's getting kept. That's on the keeper list.
Now, okay? Was I right? Is your neighbor a Washington guy? Is that a Husky flag?
It's not a Husky flag. It's an Oregon, state of Oregon flag, but it kind of looks like a Husky flag.
I've never seen that state of Oregon flag.
Well, I mean, our state flag is blue and yellowish.
Maybe blue with yellow writing.
It's a little bit. It's
a little bit different. Yeah, I know. I was curious. I do have a Coug that lives close to me.
You got a couple of them.
I have a Texas Longhorn that lives right down the street from me. So we got some college flags.
We're going horns down.
We're going horns down when we walk by. Horns down at all times. 15-yard penalty. Just looking in their window.
Be careful.
Boom, boom. Give it a little.
Have a gun.
Boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, that's the, you know, I got to get my duck flag up. Once I get my duck flag up.
So you are going to go to your 20?
I think I will. If it's easy to get to and it works in my schedule. Like, I'm not gonna plan it out in terms of, like, I need to be available. Like, if there's something else going on, I'll do that. But
sure.
If it's one like, hey, it's a Saturday, I got an invite, and I have nothing to do.
You will be golfing.
I'll go pop in.
Because you do this right around this time of year, you will be golfing.
Let's go play 18, man.
Oh, sorry, I got a prior engagement to go to.
Let's see what else we got here. Somebody said it's a generational thing. We have social media now, so we keep up with friends from high school that we semi-care about. Went to school before the internet, so his 20-year reunion was actually a catch-up with people. 2015 graduate year, our 10-year isn't even happening. The 10-year is the most useless of the reunions.
So when 10 years happened, I was on Facebook at that time. I had seen photos from a couple people that I was friends on Facebook with, but not friends in life anymore.
Sure.
It looked depressing.
Yeah.
There was maybe 9 people at a random restaurant.
rink.
What are we doing?
Like a Pietro's. What's going on here?
I just don't know what I'm getting out of it. Yeah. And I'm obviously a weird duck,
sure.
Right? I'm acknowledging that. But I'm going to sit down and say, what's new?
Divorced. I got 2 kids. Life. You?
Just living.
Just doing the thing.
I just don't know what those conversations
N-I-V-I-N,
are.
N-I-V-I-N, baby. Put one foot in front of the other.
Hey, dude, I saw you last year. You seem to be really on the internet with a lot of your thoughts.
You're into a lot of conspiracy theories lately.
You gotta bring him tinfoil? I don't know what to
You're
do
a strange
anymore.
Follow on Facebook currently, man.
God bless everybody that does go to the...
There is something to that, though. I think it's valid, is that I think in past generations it was a bigger deal because you didn't have a way of staying in touch with people. And now with social media, like most people that you were friends with in high school are in your following group on social media. And so I know what's going on in their lives. So that's definitely a valid argument about not necessarily needing to go because you stay in touch with people. I also, we have a school alumni golf tournament every summer. And so a lot of my friends from high school that are still in the area will play in that golf tournament. And so it's essentially a way to see everybody.
Well, my class, maybe everybody feels this way. My class, though, like, especially, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And looking back at the Park Rose history, like...
Not a great class.
The year before us had a lot of pride. And the year after us had a lot of pride. Like, when we used to go to those, you know, those assemblies, and they'd get you into your class, like, class 04 here, class 0. Our 05 class was always the worst one.
Yeah. And it's not organized, not together.
Half of them are dealing drugs. The other half of them are cowboys who live in Northeast Portland. It's
a weird fit.
Yeah.
Wearing a lot of Carhartt.
And then you got inner city, and it was such a weird class. It made no sense at all. So
I'm also boycotting my school until they put me in the Hall of Fame. So maybe I won't go if
it's
I'm not
a fair
in the Hall
boycott.
Of Fame, you know, until I'm put me in the Hall of Fame, and then I'll start showing up again. I did vote for your school bonds, and my taxes are going up. So build that damn school, but you know, put me in the Hall of Fame.
You should look it up. How many athletes have won Player of the Year for the conference from your school that are in the Hall of Fame?
Pulling a Chris Webber there.
I think I am. I'm going Michigan right now.
You do have
embrace
a legitimate
me.
Argument.
Put your arms around me and embrace me. Damn it, whether you like it or not. I might have taken steroids. It doesn't matter. I'm a part of your history.
There's a guy that went to our school in elementary and middle, and he moved to high school, and he went to Grant, and he's a super nice dude.
Grant's playing in the state baseball championship. My brother-in-law's a coach.
I saw
First
that.
Time since, like, 1968 or something.
Well, he played at Grant, this guy I'm talking about, and I mean no disrespect, but he didn't do anything extraordinary.
Just an athlete.
Good athlete.
Good athlete.
Didn't go to college. Didn't,
yeah.
You know. he somehow like announced that he's in the high school Grant Hall of Fame, and I'm like,
dude, this is now.
What yeah. did
not
you
not even
do
my school? Now I'm going to get upset about
to
this.
Get into that.
They at least have a good act. You know, they got this, a lot of good athletes that have come through.
Shouldn't be on the same stage as Terrell yeah. Brandon, is what I'm you're saying.
Ndamukong Suh standing next to this guy, like really, 10-time All Pro in the NFL.
I don't think he was a 1,000-yard rusher. He definitely wasn't a quarterback. I don't think he averaged more than 10 points in basketball. Like, I don't think he literally did anything of note, and he's in the Hall of Fame for the high school. And I'm like, who did you pay?
We don't have a lot of notable athletes in Cleveland's history, you know.
But that's why I'm saying you should be in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's talk to Ben Golliver. The NBA Finals tip off tonight. Daily ticker a little bit later than usual. Live from Oklahoma City next on The Fam.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday. I got to get my hands on some of those craft sodas. I saw you went out and already purchased some.
Cream soda's delightful. Had it yesterday.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It was good.
It's also, do you know, summertime. Kids got like 1 week left in school. It's almost here. Summertime is around the corner. And they got 4 coastal locations to take the fam, take everybody out to the beach. It's going to be beautiful weather from here on out. Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some NBA Finals with our good buddy, live from Oklahoma City, Ben Golliver, who you know and love, a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Ben, good morning to you. Did you, what was the experience surviving a tornado like in your cruise to OKC?
You know, it's pretty wild. You guys are talking about the beach. I'm only like, I don't know, 800 miles from a beach right now here in the middle of the country. It sounded pretty good. That ad read sounded pretty good, guys. You know, I got a little taste of the tornado lifestyle, actually. I think it was during the Western Conference Finals, maybe the end of that second round series against Denver. They're not playing around out here. I mean, they know how to handle it, so you just got to have to ask the locals, you know, what do you do? But a whole bunch of NBA employees got shuttled into the basement of a hotel because the tornado sirens were going off the other night. But thankfully, I think it passed through pretty quickly, and everybody's ready for game one. Both teams made it. The Pacers' plane was diverted for a little bit to Tulsa, but they showed up a couple hours later than expected, and everybody was ready to go for media day yesterday. They're ready to go for game one tonight.
Before we dive in fully to the basketball and get your thoughts, you did a road trip from Indy down to OKC. It took you a few days. You stopped at a Lincoln, I believe the hometown of Lincoln, had the family Bible, the cabin. Overrated, underrated experience?
Oh, I think Kentucky is underrated, man. I know there's a lot of stereotypes out there about Kentucky, but it is beautiful country. I mean, the great forests, they had a huge Mammoth Cave National Park, which I'd never been to. The Lincoln birth home was cool. It wasn't the real home. They made a Duke.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I don't know if they bought it, you know, online somewhere for cheap, a replica, you know, but the original home didn't hold up for like 200 years. But we understand why that would be. But beautiful country, highly recommended. And, you know, the road trip was just because, you know, you stay on the road for so long, like a month during the playoffs, it starts to get to you a little bit. What's better than some open road, crank the music up, you know, see some national parks. It sounds like a great time, right?
What was the top artist on your cross-country, well, not cross-country, but you get my point. What was the top artist on your playlist that you were jamming out to?
You know, I go back to the 90s classics, man, Tupac. Yeah. You know, I'm a pretty basic guy when it comes to the music. I wouldn't say I've got any great recommendations. A lot of podcasts as well, listening to the NBA Finals preview stuff, trying to figure out where people are coming down.
Now, is it something like you get into Kentucky and you're bumping Hit 'Em Up, and then you see people in Kentucky and you turn it down like the guy in
Country
Office
Roads comes
bit,
on
like,
all of a sudden?
Oh, I'm turn that down.
Yeah, I do like to do that every once in a while, just like search on Apple Music Kentucky, right? And then just play whatever they say the essential songs are. And then you start to like, you know, talk like the locals talk, which is always a little weird because they know you're not a local. So you got to be careful with the, you know, picking up accents along the way for sure.
I'm excited about the finals. I don't know what to expect yet. I don't know if we're going to get back, you know, just blowout win after blowout win, how close this series will truly be. I do think the Pacers can win a couple games here. Your thoughts on the matchup and how much of the regular season stuff do you apply to the postseason?
Well, I'll be honest, the playoff stuff is really what's more on my mind just because it's fresher, right? And I've had the luxury of seeing OKC here the last couple of rounds. They've scared me straight. You know, I have to write about every single one of their games. They win half of them by 30. The games are over shortly after halftime. You look around and say, well, what are you supposed to write? They did it again. You know, they make it difficult on the writers in the sense that they're so consistent and they're so great and their defense is so powerful that it starts to feel a little bit redundant. They're just a machine, and I think that's really the challenge for the Pacers. I mean, they're coming out of this Eastern Conference bracket. I really was hardly impressed with any of the teams over there. I mean, the New York Knicks, they're out clubbing the day after their season ends. They knew they weren't going to win the championship. I mean, give me a break, right? So that's not the hugest test for a conference finals. You know, and obviously it's a big deal for Indiana to win the East for the first time in 25 years. But the Cleveland Cavaliers were a little banged up in the second round. So I think they're going to have a real adjustment here is my point. I mean, they're going to be going from like third gear to sixth gear real quick, trying to keep up with this Oklahoma City juggernaut. But, you know, I think most of the conversation around this series will focus on Oklahoma City's defense and Indiana's offense because Indiana's offense is just so exciting with Tyrese Haliburton leading the way. I actually think the series is going to be decided on the other end with Oklahoma City's offense and Indiana's defense. I think Indiana's defense is the weakest link in this particular matchup. I don't think that they've really been tested all that much during the playoffs. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just on a different level right now in terms of 30 points every single night, leading his team nice and consistent, not getting ahead of himself one step at a time, you know, great mental focus. And so to me, I think that the Pacers are going to have a hard time slowing him down. And I think the Thunder, you know, because they're so good defensively, they're great in transition. They get a lot of easy buckets. They're getting really good play right now from their co-stars, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. I think that's just going to be too much for the Pacers. And I've got Thunder in five.
Wow. Ben Golliver's our guest, Washington Post national NBA writer. He's also the author of Bubble Ball, and he is the co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast. And you can follow him on Twitter to watch him running from tornadoes, Ben.Golliver on IG, and give him a follow on Twitter at Ben Golliver. And he kind of answered my next question that I was going to ask you, Ben. Like, if you were putting money on the over-under of, like, 5.5 games, you think under on this that it's going to be a quick series?
Look, they're just really, really good, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think the one thing you can count on with them, even if their three-point shot isn't going, and it really hasn't been for a lot of the playoffs, they give themselves this huge margin for error because of their you know, their defensive energy and intensity. And I just think they match up really cleanly with the Pacers, right? The Pacers' offense, it's all about the guards. It's all about the perimeter shooters. And it's all about the spacing. Well, the Thunder are always glad to go small. They love playing small. They're kind of at their best when they play small. And they've got this endless list of perimeter defenders, whether it's Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, who is an absolute stud for the Thunder, a young guy. They could just rotate those players on Haliburton and rotate them on Nesmith and try to lock those guys up and slow them down. And so I think the team that gave the Thunder the most problems, obviously, was Denver because they had the Joker. The Joker's huge, unbelievable passer, unbelievable scorer. And obviously the Pacers, they don't have a player of that caliber, and they don't have a player of that size either. So I think the Pacers, they kind of just match up very cleanly in terms of how Oklahoma City wants to play. And the other factor here that we really should not underrate, and it's because it reminds me a little bit of the Rose Garden back in the days when, you know, Brandon Roy was hitting playoff game winners and that place was going nuts. Oklahoma City, the crowd is just insane. The home court advantage for them all season long has been amazing. I think they've lost 7 home games since October total, like all season long and in the playoffs. And the only playoff loss they had at home was that crazy one where they blew it at the end, which they really should have won anyways, right? So they're winning some of these games by 20, 25 points. And, you know, the crowd is chanting and screaming and waving flags and just going bonkers. I think it's going to be a really, really tough place to play. If they get up 2-0 in this series, I could definitely see it ending in 5. And that's why I would say under 5.5.
Curious your thoughts on the coaching situations in the NBA. Tibbs loses his job for getting to the Final Four. The Suns have hired a 40-year-old that nobody had heard of before.
Blazers extend their coach for winning 36 games.
Oh, that's a plus 15 increase. I'm just kind of curious, Ben, your takeaways from some of the coaching decisions, whether being hired, extended, or fired.
Tough time to be an NBA coach. I mean, it's not a bad job. If you get fired, you get to keep all your millions. Like Tibbs gets, what, like $30 million to not coach for these next couple of years? That's pretty good. But I think what you're seeing right now, it's a very disorienting time in the NBA, right? Because the whole big three model of loading up with superstars, that's kind of on the way out. You're seeing the teams that are winning, they're really winning with depth. I kind of call it like a medium 10. Like the Pacers and the Thunder, they play 10 guys, sometimes more than that. They don't have the LeBron James at his peak, the Kevin Durant at his peak. They weren't really assembled by, you know, these free agency power moves. Like, that's just not how they were built. So the medium 10 model is kind of taken over for Indiana and Oklahoma City. And I think for a lot of the organizations, you're always trying to keep up with the Joneses and you're trying to figure out, like, well, how can we pivot here? How can we do things differently? The Suns are a perfect example. They tried to build the big three. I mean, it turned out to be basically a big zero. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, they win nothing together. They don't work together. They're injured constantly. And so then now they have to completely construct that entire thing. They're probably going to have to trade Kevin Durant. They can't trade Bradley Beal because of that no-trade clause. Maybe somebody will throw them a lifeline this summer. We'll see. And so they just have to totally pivot. And that's why they go with a young coach, because they realize they have to go a different direction. So I think a lot of the coaching shakeups this summer, it's really about teams grappling with the new NBA reality. And for the Knicks, what they're saying is, like, we can't undo our moves from last summer. We already spent a lot of draft picks getting Karl-Anthony Towns and getting Mikal Bridges. Our group is who it is, so we don't have the luxury of trying to pivot from a roster standpoint. We need to find a coach who can take us that next step, who can be more creative offensively, who can get us over the top to compete with a team like Indiana or Cleveland, who's probably going to be back next year at the top of the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I just think some different motivations, around the league, but I do think we're in a big transition period right now.
Very against it, but I got to ask you, were you surprised, not surprised, expected it? Chauncey was extended at the end of the season.
Yeah, I thought it probably was time to go a different direction there, because the team changed that from out from under him, after he got hired. And I just think that there was probably, a better coach, fitting for this moment for the Blazers. But, he showed a little bit of progress from the previous year. I'm just not sure it's good enough. I think the hope for the Blazers fans actually comes from some of the breakout players they had this past season, whether it's Danny Avdia or Toumani Kamara. Those guys fit that medium 10 model that I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where you could imagine them playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You could imagine those guys fitting in with how the Indiana Pacers play. Now, the Blazers' problem is none of their highest paid players fit this model at all. They're not reliable. They're not two-way players. They don't bring it every single night. They don't leave a major impact on the game. And so I think for Portland, the challenge is going to be, can you move off of some of your veterans who just don't have it? And then can you sort of retool around some of these younger guys that are showing you they're here to play every single night, they can make an impact defensively, and they want to work? Because right now, that's the model. If you're a small market franchise, you have hope. I mean, this is Oklahoma City versus Indianapolis. I'm driving between the cities because it's a small market flyover country cities, right? Normally, I'm not driving from Boston to L.A. for the finals, right? So I think this is a moment of opportunity for a team like the Blazers. The parity era is here in the NBA. We're going to have seven different champions over the past seven seasons. And so for Portland, I think the pressure actually falls on the front office. It's time to wheel and deal. It's time to make some moves. It's time to, try to shake this up. If your formula is not working, you can't get left behind by just sitting there.
Yeah, don't worry. They already got their star on the roster. Ben Golliver, at Ben Golliver on Twitter. Go give him a follow. National NBA writer for the Washington Post, Bubble Ball author, co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast, and give him a follow on IG, ben.golliver.
Great IG follow.
He's a great IG follow. He'll randomly hit a story of mine with a heart. It just makes me feel good. The heart from Ben Golliver just hits different than a heart from somebody else. Ben Golliver, enjoy the finals. We always appreciate the time. Let's do this again soon.
Let's do it. But who's the star? I'm confused.
Oh, that was the line the Blazers said. He said, how do we know we don't already have our star
Chauncey
on the team?
We might already have our star on the roster
right now.
Just didn't name who it was.
All right. Well, I'm going to go study the roster, try to figure out who it is. I'll be back to you guys later.
Good stuff. Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. Talking some NBA Finals, the Daily Ticker. As always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. That cream soda looks so good. I love a good cream soda.
I hadn't had a cream soda in a long time.
It's been
yesterday.
A minute since I've had a cream soda.
It was delicious.
It's also been a minute since I've had a root beer, too.
How about a root beer float?
God, beer float sounds so good.
Little Tillamook vanilla.
It sounds so good.
It's going to be 95 on Sunday.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
On Sunday, it's going to be 95?
That's what I'm
seeing.
I told
my daughter this, and she goes, oh, my God. I'm like, we're going to be in a gym. We're at a basketball tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be fine.
She goes, I got to walk from the door to the gym.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, when you're getting, you get out of the loop on stuff when you move, because I woke up yesterday, and I'm like, what the hell is raining? What is this?
Well, we had a weather guy.
We had stuff outside. It got wet. I was like, I thought we were in the summer here. Nobody gave me the alert.
Did you see this weather guy in Florida, this viral video? This weather guy in Florida is like, hey, I got to be honest with you guys. They've gutted the living hell out of our weather
system.
So we
don't know anymore.
So we're going to start losing more and more accuracy on our weather predictions.
Here's what I think's going to happen kind of thing. You're telling me like it's a Sprague in the line bet now? Like,
yes.
Give me the Pacers plus 9.5.
They should shoot their weather reports.
Dirt, he says they're worried.
With the guy in a car rolling his window down. Just looking out.
Looks like it's a little buggy out here today, guys.
He says they're worried that they're not going to be able to accurately predict how intense hurricanes are.
Nice. That's a good thing. Who needs to know that information? Government
efficiency.
Taking the over or the under? Let's get to that next. All right, welcome back in. The Short King has settled down.
Why did that bother you so much? Their lady's looking for a life mate.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, how many men lie about their height?
Well, that's going to be the thing. You're
if you were
going
on Tinder, what would your height be?
6'2". I don't care. You don't like it when you show up for the first date? That's tough luck for you.
I went on my hot yoga class in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
I saw a Short King in my class.
Did you?
Like, the gal was about my height.
Good for him,
man. He was maybe 5'6".
Look at him climbing that ladder. Good for him.
And we both went in the changing locker room area, and he was pulling stuff out of a cubby, and I was waiting for him because the space wasn't, you know, very wide. And as he turned around and moved so I could go through and grab my stuff, he goes, hey, man, could you make sure I got everything? I can't see up there. Like, he was willing to make fun of the situation. I didn't say anything. And I was like, you're good.
You're good. Let me double check up here. Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Hey, look, us Short Kings are aware. We're also, you know, we shouldn't be discriminated against. That's my own thing.
But you discriminate against women.
No, I don't. I'm open. I'm not putting restrictions on my filters on Tinder if I'm out there searching for ladies.
If you could, you would.
That's the whole point. I can't, so why can they? Why is it fair for one side and not fair for the other?
Well, we can get into this conversation if you want, but it's been very tough for them for most of the existence.
They're fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Hey, we taking the over-under on 5.5 games.
I'm over, buddy.
I'm taking the under.
Swag's taking the under.
Thunder in 5.
Now, you want him in 6. Like, what would the odds be? Under probably minus.
See it go longer, but
Thunder in 6, you can get 4-1.
4-1 odds in Thunder winning in 6?
Exactly, Thunder 4-2, yeah.
I hope that you're right on this. I just have a bad feeling.
I have a bad feeling. If we come in tomorrow and the Thunder have won by 25,
damn it.
And Halliburton had 7 points, I'm not going to sit here and be like, can't believe it, man. Like, Thunder winning in 4 or 5.
That would
blow. Under 5.5 is -140, over is +120 right
now. Is it
now
seriously?
At DraftKings.
So you can actually go gamble on that over-under. Yep. That's like if I were an odds maker in Vegas and you asked me to set the over-under on the series, that's what I would make.
Exact games, think 5 games.
I go under.
5 games. Is +220.
You think it's 4 or 5?
6 games.
5. I'll give the Pacers a game. I think they can get
320.
One. If Minnesota can win a game, I'll give them a game. I don't necessarily think they're going to get blown out in every game like Minnesota did. I know in one of the wins at OKC, yeah, they didn't blow them out, but 3 of the 4 they did. I think it'll be more competitive than that. They seem like an unbeatable wagon.
The Thunder's going to have some of the 25, 30 point blowouts that we saw in earlier rounds.
And I don't think they're going to have the blowout in the other way in this series, too. I don't think they're going to have a no show game the way they did in game 3.
Nemec, I think waking Nemec up early to do the show put him in a haze. He gave the scorchingest hot take yesterday that if Carlisle somehow won this, he'd be on the Rushmore of basketball coaches.
Dude. Can I defend him for a second?
No, you really can't. You don't want to go there.
Can I defend him for a moment? I can't wait for our top 10 show. Fan Golf Classic Day.
It's going to be such a
bad I'm going to cook 10. On that episode. The only defense that I will give of that is I do feel like the way we judge coaches in the NBA is hilarious. Like, if you get to coach the best player in the best roster, you're considered the greatest coach of all time, when I think there are how many coaches that could win with that roster?
Who are you thinking of here?
Insert any of them.
How many did they win before Phil was the coach?
Sure. When did Scottie Pippen come along? How many years was Scottie Pippen there before Phil Jackson got hired? How many years was he in Chicago before Phil got hired?
I mean,
you know.
So it coincided with having one of the greatest players of all time and one of the best rosters in the NBA year in and year out. How many times? I mean,
you're giving him no credit?
How many? I'm not giving him no credit, but the whole argument about Carlisle that I'm going to defend Nimick here is that Dallas team is widely considered as one of the more random championship teams we've ever seen. And if the Indiana Pacers win an NBA title this year, to do it for two different organizations without a player on either roster that would be considered a lock to be a top 10 player in the history of the league would be pretty remarkable.
100% agree with that statement. But we're talking about the Rushmore.
Sure.
And as much as you want to poo-poo all of the championships that Phil won, he's on the Rushmore.
He's on the Rushmore. That's
Auerbach
fine.
Auerbach is on the Rushmore.
No, that doesn't count. Yes. Get Auerbach off of there. Let's get the hell out of here with that crap.
There's a Stogie out of the rock.
Pat Riley is on the Rushmore.
Greg Popovich is on the Rushmore.
And then
the
you've
Rushmore.
Got Pop and Steve Kerr.
And then you got Steve Kerr.
Oh, God. Get out of here with that nonsense. Two of his titles came with Kevin Durant joining a 73-win team. I could have coached that team to an NBA championship.
Well, I think my
screen pass the ball to Kevin Durant. Give it to 35. Wait, no, Curry's open. Give it to Curry. Clay Thompson's wide open. Give it to Clay Thompson.
Didn't Mike Brown and Luke Walton both have 10
Mike Brown won the
run?
Conference finals in Portland. Steve Kerr didn't even coach him that year.
I don't know if that's accurate. I know he took an absence.
He had a back injury. It was spinal. He couldn't even coach. Spinal. They still made the NBA finals. He wasn't even there on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Nimick, I'm going to defend him here. I'm okay with
He's
this take.
He's not on the Rushmore.
I'm giving
It'd be
him
pretty
prudence.
Remarkable, though.
Dude, this would be insane. This Pacers, if I would have told you in August the Pacers are going to win an NBA title, what would you say to me?
If you told me they were in the finals, I'd say the same thing as if you told me they won it.
And all of those other coaches you've listed, if I say, hey, the Spurs won a title this year, are you surprised? No, because they have one of the greatest players of all time and one of the best rosters in the league. Or, hey, the Warriors with Kevin Durant are going to win a title. You're not surprised by any of it. If I tell you this Pacers team's winning a title before the year, you're laughing at me. Hey, they're going to win an NBA championship this year. There's no chance that happens.
Yeah.
Rushmore. Putting him on my Rushmore. I'm with you, Nimick. You didn't Wally Pitt me, but I'm with you on
well,
this
the funny
one.
Thing was, our whole segment, we basically talked him out of the take. Listeners were texting in Chuck Daly, Larry Brown, like all these coaches. And he's like, okay, not the Rushmore. But top 10 for sure. I'm like, sure, I'll give you that.
Top
whatever, just not the Rushmore.
Top 5. I think we add this to our golf show, live show, recorded show. Top 5 coaches.
Well, and then
time.
I got into the whole, like, having 4 is stupid. Yeah. America does top 3 or top 5. We never do a top 4 of anything.
That is true. Top 4 is pretty funny. Let's close it up on a Thursday next on The Fam. Well, we get game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight.
You guys don't seem very excited. I got to be honest. I know that you're hoping it's a good game.
I'm
but
curious.
Yeah, I wouldn't label myself excited. I don't think
what,
that's
is a sophomore year of college? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm trying to discover what I like and don't like. What works and what doesn't work.
Hey, Steven.
This move didn't work.
I totally get the vibe of it. I'm not going to deny or try to defend anything. I just think the
I do hope it's a track meet. I hope there's not that feeling out process where it's like,
part of it for me is like I
want them to come out
there's
and just
a shot,
run
there's a
and gun
here.
And press and let's go. There's fire up threes.
Yeah, there's a shot, there's a sweep here, but it's high-level, fun, close basketball. The Thunder are just better and they win every game.
Yeah, and you get 4 entertaining games, and then at the end of it, you're like, damn, that was really close and competitive, but somehow it was still a sweep at the end of it. I think part of my enjoyment of titles, too, it depends on my level of happiness for the organization, city, or fan base for them winning. Like, I'm a very petty and jealous person, which is why I hate a lot of things in the NBA because I don't get to have anything nice in my city with my team, but I get to watch all these other cities and markets enjoy success.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it for me going in is I'm dreading the outcome because I genuinely despise that city and that fan base and that organization.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against the players, whatever. That's like you can defend them or like them. That's okay. I don't want the owner to win, and I don't want the city to get to enjoy something that I don't believe that they deserve.
Sure.
And I feel like that's waiting for me at the end of the tunnel. And so in terms of the excitement going into the finals, that's part of it. You tell me Indiana wins this thing, it's awesome. Because that's a good fan base. They've been through a lot of heartbreak for generations of years of coming close and never breaking down the door. Them winning a title would be really cool. I just don't think it's going to happen.
They've been a little Buffalo Billy. They've
very
been
Buffalo Billy, dude.
Or
yeah.
Conference finals. They've been close, but no cigar type. Yeah. Vibe, like they pushed the Jordan Bulls as hard as any team had ever pushed the Jordan Bulls. They took them to 7 games.
They did
in that last Eastern Conference Finals, and so to see them, and then they get to the finals and they lose in 6 to that Laker team. Like to see them get back to this moment is certainly awesome. I, you know, the OKC thing, I just Orem gave he basically said the same thing Golliver did of the crowd. And I'm
it's
like,
a great home court advantage.
And I'm like, dude, they haven't gone through it enough. Like, no. go through it for 8 years of sucking, not yes. two, and then you're back.
Go 15 years without back. Winning a playoff series.
Right.
They've only existed for 15 years.
That Pacer crowd in game six, I thought was electric yeah. against the Knicks. And so I am rooting for the heel. I'm rooting for Halliburton. I'm rooting for the Pacers.
Too, man.
The funny thing is, if the Thunder win, there's going to be a lot of D's in our mouth. But if the Pacers win, we're going to go, oh, that's a cute one-off. Next. One-off.
We're going to go Mount Rushmore
we're
on
your ass. We're not going to give them a chance to be a dynasty.
No, we won't. I hope I'm wrong. Excited, not the right word, but as Swag said, we're curious. We're going to learn some things tonight. How do we handle this?
Will we turn the TV off?
Where do I put my hands? God, I hope not. That would suck. That would blow for game one. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Ben Golliver was our guest live from Oklahoma City ahead of game one of the NBA Finals. Tomorrow will be a Friday, and we'll recap what the hell happened tonight in OKC. Lots of other fun stuff on the show tomorrow.
Super regionals start
for
Oregon
State. Regionals. Your Beavs are still alive, yeah. taking on Florida State. Look at us in lockstep there. That's going on this weekend. We all remembered that. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.